Bulletcast for life.
Get up, get up! This is a revolution! This is our time to rise! Look deep within your mind, look deep into the hate in my eyes.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You know the name, you know the voice, you know exactly why I'm here. Just in case if you don't, I am the Microphone Messiah, a 25-year-old piece of gold, the Valkyrie King of the Great White North. Why? Because I'm Canada's favorite honorary son. Not to mention, I am the fully vaccinated king. Got the second shot a couple days ago. I feel great. I didn't get sick like everybody else. The immune system is strong, baby. But you know, I never do it alone. He's my tag team partner, the Jimmy to my Jay, the Teller my Arn, the... But Stevie Ray to my Booker T. I forget. I say it so often, but I forget. Ladies and gentlemen, the host of the award-winning Under the Bear, host of Creative Curveballs and Share Shots, the first ever and now 13-time Bullet Cast champion, the Canadian Destroyer, Brandon Tan Guma. BT, it's Thursday. You know what that means. How you doing today, brother?
Philip, I'm doing fantastic. I'm finally eligible for the vaccine. Haven't been able to schedule anything yet, but it's on the horizon one of these days. And, you know, been thinking about something for a long, long time, and I like to personally say that next week, it's been a while, next Wednesday, maybe every week, maybe every other week, I don't know, we'll have to stay tuned and find out, but now that NXT has moved to Tuesday, it makes it a little easier, simpler for me. Under the Radar will return next Wednesday.
Oh, I'm so juiced, hey, I'm hella happy, It's been that. What was the last time you did one, man? Let's go to the archive and look. I need to. Oh my god, I'm so excited. I don't know
if I've done one during the pandemic. Maybe I did because
maybe you didn't. I don't know.
I know. I released the Starboy Charlie interviews. Maybe I did a few at the very beginning. I wanted to go back and listen to my Mae Young Classic reviews. Maybe I'll throw those up later because I know I had some kind words about Bianca Belair, and I said, you know, I like her. If she stays on the straight and narrow, she can be something. And look, your boy got an eye for talent.
Well, the last one you did was June 11th, 2020. And, oh, God, it's blocked because they're... Oh, whoa. Brandon, what did you do?
I don't know. What did I do? Why is it blocked?
It's blocked on YouTube because the video contains content from WWE. Bro, what happened?
That's because you make your own little fancy thingy that has all the different... It had Miz and Misses on it. It had the hype videos. You know, we do things a little differently now because we're trying to skirt the YouTube algorithm. But back in the day, we just didn't care.
Well, back in the day, we didn't... I mean, YouTube's trying to become more like Disney every day. So, like, they even have, like, checking for copyrights now. Like, when I upload videos, and I'm like, oh, they're really going for the home stretch here. Well, I will, you know what, since you're coming back, hey man, I'll make a new thing. I'll make a new little video opener for you. I'm happy that Under the Radar is coming back. That classic Under the Radar theme song. Do you still have it?
Of course. I still got everything on the hard drive. I have every single episode of Under the Radar on my hard drive. Let's see if I can try to figure this out right now. You said that video was like June or July 22nd.
Yes. Go to the Bulletcast YouTube channel, go to the playlist Under the Radar, and you will June 11th 2020.
June 11th, okay,
yes.
So I'm on the RSS feed right now, so if you want to go listen to the latest episode, which is almost a year old at this point, trying to go back, Under the Radar, there it is, episode 82, New Japan is back. So it was the big return of New Japan, and then I obviously probably talked about some NXT stuff. Adam Cole's contract is set to expire in August. Oh my God, Philip, what's going to happen? Do you think Adam Cole could leave NXT and go to AEW?
Possibly. We don't know. Oh man.
All the content you know and love, the last 2 months of Total Bellas. And we got the Miz and Misses came back this week. So we're going to get 2 weeks of Miz and Misses next week. We're going to get maybe 2 weeks of NXT recap post takeover. I mean, it's going to be a loaded episode next week.
I can't wait to listen to it. I'm so excited that it's coming back. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to talk about today. But before we get into that, we always have to do it every single week. HD for life on teesprings.com. The socials on the Twitter and the Instagram, hd.4.life. Designs, get her done 1 and 2. Hurry up 1 and 2. Mr. Sapo 1 and 2. H-Dog, Mother's Love, King H-Dog, H-Dog-Dash. Get it, Mr. Pimpin'. HD for life, Americana, common sense, soldier, H dog, life safety, HD for life safety, Lily's love, HD for life, orange and pink, softball life, reunite, generations, little Rena, little H dog, explode, and show quality 1, 2, and 3. They have drinkware, fanny packs, socks, hoodies, t-shirts, sweatpants, tank tops, face masks, tote bags, mugs, pillows, beach towels, posters, blankets, phone cases, stickers, and so much more. HD for life at teesprings.com. New graffiti artwork company. Go get it. It's going to be a hot commodity pretty soon. You know, starting to warm up in the Bay Area, and I know people love graffiti artwork. So this is the perfect place to go get it. Get you some tank tops. I think he's coming out with some shorts too. So hey, it's a win-win for everybody, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, Brandon, something just happened like literally 30 minutes ago in the world of professional wrestling. Tell me what it was.
Well, we got the spring cleaning, the post-WrestleMania releases, as you said, literally happened maybe 20 minutes before we're set to record. Well, there might even be more releases by the time this podcast is up. We got the current list right now from Sean Rossap, shout out, retweeted on the Bulletcast. Nice little list for everyone. We have Bo Dallas, Kalisto, Tucky, RIP Tucky, Wesley Blake, Chelsea Green, The Iconics, Mickey James, and the big one everyone's talking about, Samoa Joe.
What'd you say about Sean Rossap? What did he do?
He tweeted out the little list. It has everyone else. It has, you know, all the list. Nice and pretty for everybody.
Nice and pretty for everybody. Yeah, man. I mean, I look at this, dude. How do you Samoa Joe's the one for me, man? Like, how? I know he has injuries or whatnot, but I mean, the guy was doing great on commentary. Maybe the injuries would have, you know, healed up to where he could have gotten back in the ring. I mean, look back at that feud with AJ. I would have put the title on him. He could have had it for a month. It wouldn't have mattered. He would have had it. I was just like, how? And then you look at Billie Kay. I mean, she's leaned more into the entertainment role, and the resume, it was starting to work. It was really starting to work. Peyton Royce, she was going to be the more serious competitor on Monday nights. I mean, she had that match with Asuka and then was released. You know, now that I think about it, remember Emma, she spoke out, had a match with Asuka and then was released. Maybe you, if you wrestle Asuka, then you just get released like that.
I don't know.
What are your thoughts on this, man?
It's typical. It did kind of come out of nowhere. We didn't hear any rumblings, but it's something that we've seen from WWE. It sucks. It's always terrible for people to lose their job. I know we're at the tail end of the pandemic, but still, WWE releasing people. AEW still. I mean, we're going to talk about a release later with AEW, but for the most part, Tony Khan has come out and says, while we're still in a pandemic, I'm not going to make any cuts. I'm not going to do that to the people. And this is just kind of another reason why people may or may not like WWE. I understand it's a business, but when times like these come up, it's more my time to kind of reflect, and it kind of shows the lack of ability that WWE has to kind of take some of these talents and I utilize them properly. So if I can just go, I mean, Bo Dallas, he's fine. I think he was kind of slotted where he should have been. Kalisto.
Whoa, hold on. Like a young Barry Windham down in NXT. Did you watch the NXT title run of Bo Dallas?
He had a great run.
Did you watch it? Did you watch it?
I saw a little bit of it.
I was watching it. He reminded me of Barry Windham. I'm like, all right, the dude's got to be something. Now we got to the main roster. He was wearing a diaper. Like my mom knows him as the diaper guy. He was running around with a sign yelling "Bo leave" when he was in the Miz Tourage. I don't know, but there's a little spark or something.
I will say he's had his moments. He's had his moments, but
he has had his moments, you know. And what you said, Kalisto. Look, he was the U.S. champion, Lucha House Party, had that great tag team title match with the Usos at TLC 2015. Sure, Tucker. He wasn't gonna be much. He said he's finally free, dude. You're not gonna like the indie scene on fire next. Wesley Blake, he was the tag team champion at NXT. Congratulations. Murphy's barely even on TV, and he's still a bigger star than Blake. I'm sorry. Next. Billie Kay, Peyton Royce. I love those two girls. The perfect example of the what the women's tag team division is supposed to be. Hell, I would have kept the titles on them forever. They're just great. You never would have gotten bored with it. I'm ashamed that they got released. Mickey James, I mean, oh my God, the legend. The legendary Mickey James, she comes back. And La Luchador, she should have had a run with the title. I don't know why we didn't. I would have put her over Alexa Bliss at one point in time. I would have done it. I love Mickie James. One of my favorites as a kid. One of my favorites till this day. On the bright side, when that 90 days is up, I'm going to be emailing all these people for interviews.
And just like Samoa Joe, Mickie James was just doing commentary on NXT Stand and Deliver pre-show. And I mean, we've seen most, I mean, not all of them, but kind of the top tier people like just a week ago, and now they're gone.
So Mickie James going to pop up in the NWA?
Quite possibly. I think that'd be a nice little fit.
Well, I mean, Melina's there. You know, she has history with her. Velvet Sky's there. She has history with her from TNA. Yeah. Joe and the G1. Let's say he's healed up. Joe and the G1. How would you feel about that?
That would be a lot of fun. I'd love to see Samoa Joe in a G1. As you said, I don't know what his body could do if it could hold up. And Samoa Joe and CM Punk are having a nice little back and forth right now on Twitter. So he's kind of leaned into it. And I think he understands, you know, his value right now is very high because people saw what he's always been the guy that people thought WWE should have done more with. And when he got taken off the commentary desk for Monday Night Raw, people were like, okay, this means he's going to be wrestling more. Nope, he's gone. I will say the one you didn't really talk about too much is Chelsea Green. Her story is just kind of tragic. She made her debut on SmackDown. She hurts her leg, I believe. And then she gets taken off. I think she came back, not on SmackDown, but she was in the building like a few weeks ago, and then she gets released again. I think she is very talented, and she could be something in the women's division. I know it's an easy thing for people to just say, oh, put her in AEW. She's, you know, married to Matt, or engaged, I think, with Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder. So, you know, maybe wherever he goes, she'll follow. She was kind of a bigger name in Impact. And Billy Kane, Peyton Royce, as much as I love the Iconics, if I'm AEW, I might stay away from them. I know they're entertaining. Mickie James is probably the one I would maybe try to go after because she has some name value. And Kalisto, I kind of wish they just released the entire Lucha House Party just because those guys are so talented and they can do so much more.
We can keep Grand Metalik. Him with the new Cruiserweight champion? Oh, come on, bro. Give me that. Him versus Santos Escobar? Give me that. The King of the
Grand Metalik is... honestly, the most talented luchador in the world, and he's just sitting and catering, doing nothing.
Bro, the King of the Ropes versus the Empire of Lucha Libre, give me that. Give me that, please. This one dude, I don't know who he is, but his name is Harry. I guess his Twitter is HasErix. He said he's not angry at WWE for releasing wrestlers. He's just frustrated and disappointed because he wishes the best for them, and he wants them to succeed. You see? You see, as soon as WWE releases people, I saw this on Twitter yesterday. Some guy said WWE releases people and they crucify the company. AEW releases a couple people that nobody says a word.
As I said earlier, I'm not going to crucify WWE. I understand the reasoning. Is it a valid reason? I mean, they're making so much money. I think if they wanted to, really, they could have kept them. I think it's just more for me on the creative side of all this talent, and they're just unable to do much with them.
I mean, there were three that Joe, Iconics, Mickey, and Chelsea. There were five where I think we could have done some business with them.
And I mean, honestly, Kalisto could have done something too. Not saying he was going to be the next Rey Mysterio, but he could have at least helped out a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he could have been doing the job, brother. Do we have any new ones? Do we have any
I've seen thus far? But of course, you know, maybe at the very end of the podcast, we'll hear something.
Yeah, we're gonna keep checking. On the bright side, I guess Laurel Van Ness will be making a resurgence. That character Chelsea Green did in Impact, which I was a fan of. I thought it was entertaining. You know, the Dreddy Bride. I liked that. I liked that a lot. Well, you know, it's unfortunate. I hope all these people land on their feet. Wish them the best of luck in all of their future endeavors. Oh, somebody just tweeted out a list. Joe in Bloodsport, Joe versus Shingo Takagi, Joe versus Jacob Fatu. Joe versus AJ Gray, Joe versus Calvin Tankman, Joe versus Jonathan Gresham, Joe versus Jay Lethal, Joe versus Roosh, Joe versus Naito, Joe versus Tanahashi. Hey, book all that. I'm here for it. Book all that. Yes, sir.
if Samoa Joe is on a revenge tour slash, you know, one more ride, I think what he can do is going to be unbelievable.
Hey, no, but I think Joe in the G1, if he can do it, bro, come on, brother. That's where it is. That is where it is. Hey, Joe versus Jeff Cobb, book that. I want to see that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, my God. Chris Jericho was on the Broken Skull Sessions. It was a 2 hours and 7 minutes. I watched it the morning of night two of WrestleMania. Brandon, what were your takeaways from it? How'd you like it?
So I did watch this. No bit here. I did watch it in its entirety. It's about 2 hours, over 2 hours. And me personally, I didn't learn too much from the podcast, but it is always fun to see Stone Cold interact with Jericho. They're good buddies. If you're looking for like a deep dive into AEW, you're not going to really get all that much, like maybe the first 20 minutes and the last 20 minutes, the middle hour 45 is them just kind of covering his WCW early in WWF career. And for the most part, I've heard a lot of those stories, especially with Jericho on the podcast, Eric Bischoff having his own podcast. So I didn't learn too much, but if you're someone who hasn't, you know, gone deep into the Jericho timeline and understand much of him, I definitely would recommend it. Jericho has his own little, you know, quirks and stuff that maybe I disagree with some of his opinions and everything like that, but still overall like a fun, you know, maybe sometimes Jericho, hey, I understand if you're not going to be your biggest fan, no one will. I feel maybe sometimes Jericho will overhype some of the things he's done, but
like what?
He just makes everything seem like, you know, what he did.
No, like, do you have a specific thing?
Let's see if I can bring something off the top of my head. Like, okay, when he talks about the Festival of Friendship and stuff like that, he just will throw out, oh, it was like, you know, the greatest segment in modern WWE history. Like, yes, it was really good. But I mean, was it though? Was it?
Look at the rating. It's I think the highest to date in the last couple years. Yeah. It's the highest rating they've had in the last couple years.
I'm not going to knock the hustle. I'm not going to be like, you know, oh my God, he's no Hulk Hogan, brother. I will give him that. I know it's a low bar, but I'm not knocking Jericho. I very much enjoy him. I think he has been doing really good stuff in AEW. We'll talk about what he did on his babyface debut match in AEW. And I thought it was entertaining. Philip, what did you think about it?
I really enjoyed it. He talked about I think the entrance with the like his WWE entrance with The Rock, and like how he said he met at Vince's house. He was telling those stories, and they were asking him like what they were in a booking meeting. He was like, "Oh, Chris, what do you think?" And then you know the Brownie story, and he was looking at the countdown of the millennium, and obviously that's how he debuted, and the countdown has been synonymous with him for a long time. And he talked about his back to the crowd, and I've always wondered, like, yeah, where the hell did he get that from? And he said he got it from Michael Jackson. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. All in all, it was a great thing, man. I mean, they talk about AEW a lot. I'm sure the Smarks were like, oh, that's the fifth time they said AEW and Kenny Omega and stuff like that. But hey, man, I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, they hit all the marks. AEW, you know, New Japan, the WCW run, the stuff at WWE. Probably my favorite feud of all time, the 08 feud with him and Shawn Michaels. So, yeah, I mean, I was pleased with it. I loved it.
I will say the one thing that either I learned or I didn't, like, realize too much was his match with Kevin Owens, WrestleMania 33, was supposed to be the main event, got knocked off for Brock and Goldberg.
You didn't know that?
It was the second match. I probably heard it, but I just kind of forgot about it, and like that's the main catalyst for why he is in AEW right now. So, you know, even if that was the opening match, it's maybe Jericho wouldn't be in AEW right now.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you have to think about it. Like that whole list thing, the Kevin Owens thing. Like, I did you ever sit through like a list, like a show where he put somebody on the list? I went to that Raw at the Oracle. Dude, like all he did was click a pin. They're like, oh, you just made the list. Ah, like it's crazy. He got overwriting somebody's name on a piece of paper. Like that's like really like it's stupid, but people loved it. And so I look back at it and like I am kind of ashamed, you know, at the way like it was handled in the end, like a second match on Mania for the U.S. title, which, you know, don't disrespect to the U.S. title. Love it. But I was just like, yeah, they deserved better. Or you could put them later on in the card, you know? It's kind of like the match he had with Sean at 19. Like, they weren't second, they weren't last, they were in the middle of the card, and you remember the match for being quite good.
I agree with Jericho's sentiment of why does Brock and Goldberg, that match doesn't need a title belt. And if you want to get the belt on Brock, you can have him destroy KO at the end. You know, very similar to what happened in at Fastlane with Goldberg. Like,
he was going to like wrestle Brock like later on in the year, which Jericho versus Lesnar. I mean, book it, you know?
Yeah. And as I said, that Goldberg Lesnar match, as much as I loved it, like I watched it like last week leading up to WrestleMania, it still holds up. I thought it was a lot of fun, but it doesn't need the title on it. I know Goldberg, he did it for his kid, but I mean, are we really going to put the title on a man just because his kid wants it? Or because he wants it for his kid?
Hey, you know, that's why some people win championships, you know? Yeah. That's why Roman Reigns is the champion. He's doing it for his family and, you know, the rest of the company. So it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Goldberg's the head of the table? Was the head of the table?
No. Absolutely not. I can't see Goldberg leading the charge like that.
Do we get a Goldberg Roman Reigns match?
If that happens, Roman should just choke him out, dude. Like, Goldberg goes for the spear, he catches him, and the guillotine chokes him out, goes home.
I'm all for that.
Yes.
It's very similar to what happened with him and Drew McIntyre. He just shows up, asks for the title, and he gets it. But it was the match that was supposed to be at WrestleMania that we never got. Maybe for the better.
Yeah, or Roman, like, he's not stupid, you know what I mean? Like, everybody else watches TV, like, in the way WWE, like, people make fun of WWE, like, off to the side. When Roman watches the screen, he's watching it like a normal person, you know what I'm saying? So, like, his character's not stupid. I'm sure if that would happen, Roman would be like, you didn't earn this. You can't just show up and get what you want. You gotta earn this. You know what I'm saying?
So, if Roman is so important that you fix those little issues, why doesn't everybody have that same thing?
Because he's the head of the table. I mean, come on. Like,
I didn't know such a big deal for someone to just watch a screen head on like a normal human being.
I mean, like, when have we ever seen like anybody watch it like normally on WWE television? Never. They were even doing that back in like 95.
Because you got to get the side profile. You got to get like kind of the other profile a little bit. And you got to get the TV.
It's more intriguing when you watch it normally. Like, what the hell is he? What is he watching? Is he watching the show? Is he watching something else? Why does he have that intense look on his face? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we are. Oh, what is this? Is this a notification? What happened? Oh, I thought more people got released. My bad. All right, we are going to move on. Brandon, take it away.
Well, we talked about WWE releases. We have an AEW release, and the women's division. We thought this person could have been a star, maybe the lead. And that would be Eva Lise, and she has been let go from WWE. She tweeted on Wednesday, history.
AEW?
Whatever. AEW. Whatever. This is why I don't host things. History repeats itself, unfortunately. I speak up about mistreatment and get let go. That's life. That has since been deleted. She went on Fightful Select and talked about it a little bit more. Apparently, there has been some mistreatment from a coach involving some women. She spoke up. She was suspended and ultimately let go. Okay. I'm just going to read the whole quote because screw it. We're here. I spoke up about mistreatment from a coach, even to other women too. They are witnesses, and I was the one suspended and left in limbo and just now let go. And nothing has been done at all the entire time about Thunder Rosa slandering my name the entire time in AEW, doing everything to sabotage my position there. I kept quiet. Thunder Rosa also has a history of getting involved with officials in order to get ahead, which there was a lawsuit and everything in Lucha Underground. So if we go back to the match with Thunder Rosa and Eva Lise, I remember people were saying that there was some stiff shots, some like shoot punches and everything like that. So it seems like these two women do not like each other.
Oh, man. I wonder who, I mean, Dustin coaches the woman. Do you think it was Dustin Rhodes?
I don't exactly know everybody off the top of my head. you know, who works backstage. I know it's Billy Gunn. Is he more of a backstage guy?
He's more of a producer, but I know Dustin like teaches the woman's class.
I mean, she's not dropping any names. She probably doesn't want to. But Ivelisse, I mean, I was high on her. I think she carried herself fantastically. She won the Women's Tag Team Cup with Diamante.
Yeah, Diamante. I wanted, maybe she felt like they deserved a better position on the show and whatnot. And hey, can't wait for that shoot interview, huh?
I mean, she's already, you know, giving us some fire quotes right now. And I mean, Thunder Rosa, for my knowledge, hasn't exactly responded or anything like that. But I mean, it sucks. As I said, I think Ivelisse, I enjoyed her stuff in Lucha Underground, and then seeing her pop up in AEW, and the women's division desperately needed someone like that. And obviously there was some issues behind the scenes and she got released. So hopefully she does great. I don't see her being in WWE anytime soon, or maybe she definitely not NWA with Thunder Rosa being over there. So maybe ROH, Impact, we shall see. But then also AEW has the thing with Impact, so I don't know if that's exactly going to happen. We have a release date for Dark Side of the Ring. It is coming out May 6th. We got a release trailer. Pretty much what you would expect. We see their little pre-produced matches and everything like that, and they rent out all the names. Philip, we've talked about it, all the names and all the stories. May 6th, we finally get it. And also on A&E, this weekend, we have the biography of Stone Cold and that treasure hunting show with Stephanie and Triple H as Philip drinks his bang.
What flavor? Gotta let him know.
Sweet Georgia tea or whatever.
Georgia peach sweet tea, baby.
Yeehaw.
Yes. Dark Side of the Ring. The first episode, I believe, is Flying Brian Pillman. I love Brian Pillman. Hey, I'm a big fan of the Hollywood Blondes, dude. Like, can we roll the tape? Can we roll the camera? I love those guys. I love it. I'm excited for Dark Side of the Ring. You know, it's season three. The first two seasons were great. Probably season two was better than season one. I might say that. And the Steve Austin documentary on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to the treasures that Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are going to be hunting down. They were on Good Morning America promoting this. A shout out to Hunter and Trips. I mean, Stephanie and Trips both just got fully vaccinated. Yeah, man, this looks like there's going to be some good stuff coming up in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, excited. I mean, love Dark Side of the Ring. I think there's more stories I'm not particularly fully aware of in season three, so I think I might enjoy this one quite a bit.
The collision in Korea? I mean, the 150,000 people?
That matches an insane story, especially, I mean, if you don't know the thing that happened with Scott Norton, you should know, because he should have been dead. Let's be honest.
Let him know, Brennan. Let him know. Let him know real quick.
Basically, Scott Norton being a good brother, complaining to his wife about how trash North Korea is, and the North Korea didn't take to that all kindly.
Oh, they were going to blow his head off. Oh, God.
Yeah, you're listening to a podcast right now, The Bullacast, which means you like podcasts and wrestling. If you want another podcast, because we all know there's not enough podcasts in the world, then let's get a Jeff Jarrett podcast my way. Jeff Jarrett. Philip, are you excited for a Jeff Jarrett podcast?
JEFFJARRET. That's double J, Jeff Jarrett. Dude, look, the biggest thing, Conrad Thompson is the co-host of the Jeff Jarrett podcast. I mean, he has 83 weeks, What Happened When, Grilling JR, the Kurt Angle podcast, Something to Wrestle with, Something Else to Wrestle. This dude is really the pod father. Like, I passed on the moniker to Conrad. I let him hold the IP.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, it's really going to be the same thing that he does with all the other guys, key points in their career. So we're going to get the WWE run, the Intercontinental Championship stuff. I'll listen because I love With My Baby Tonight. Love it. We're going to get the TNA stuff, Global Force Wrestling and all that. So, hey, man, it's whatever. I'll probably tap in.
This one seems interesting just maybe for the early TNA days and that history, because that seems like maybe a blind spot in the kind of Conrad Thompson podcasting network. So it'll be something to check out.
You know what people talk about, the Triple H Reign of Terror. Let's be real, guys. We know what the real Reign of Terror was. Jeff Jarrett and TNA.
We got Peacock fixing the network. Philip, what problems did the Peacock fix?
So people who have the premium subscription like myself, you're supposed to be ad-free when you're watching content back. That still was not the case. You would go to some WWE, actually all the WWE content from the past, and there would still be ads popping up in there. I hopped on there earlier today to watch our match pick of the week. No ads. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So they're making some steps in the right direction, you know, because like you'll watch like the Untolds or whatever, you'll be really into it, and then an ad pops up, and you're like, oh. And then you'll be into it again, another ad. And you're like, oh my God, Jesus. So yeah, no, this is a step in the right direction. Hopefully they go on the real network trail and start listing, you know, categorizing the matches and segments and whatnot, time stamping them.
So just to be clear, the premium one is at the $4.99 price point.
Yes.
And so I was tired of the ads, and so I upgraded to the $9.99 price point just so I didn't have ads. So now they took out the ads in the $4.99, so I'm wasting $5 a month now.
Wait, no. I mean the premium is the 9.99. Let's not be mistaken.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I'm
The
kind of
premium is
confused right now.
I mean did you still have ads though, right?
No, I never had ads when I upgraded to the $10 version.
Oh. But maybe it was just me and a couple other people, I don't know. Oh no.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Just make sure I
Yes.
didn't waste my money for no reason.
Yes. All right. Let's keep it rolling. Yeah.
Well, then Fight, if you watch any of the GCW stuff from over the weekend, you probably watched it through Fight. Thriller or Triller has bought the Fight Network. So under new management, Philip, do you know exactly what this means? Do you know you're familiar with the Triller?
Yes, I'm familiar with Triller. It's a great app and it's a great streaming service. Triller, a big in-house fold in the streaming world, particularly for the pay-per-view events like Saturday's Jake Paul Ben Askren fight. What the CEO says, with their acquisition of Fight, we bring into TrillerNet their stellar technology, valuable customer and content partner base, and one of the most experienced executive teams in this space. Yeah, so you know that means more because Triller has been really popping off lately. So you know, with them buying Fight, I guess they have a new plan for the way they're going to produce content, release content, and I guess the look of Fight TV. So what does that mean for the future of pro wrestling on there? Like you know, GCW, Bloodsport, GSW. I know they're having another show in May. So Brandon, what do you think Triller is going to bring to the table when it comes to the content that Fight TV releases and produces?
Not 100% sure, but I mean, I love Fight. I haven't exactly used it recently, but I mean, if it just makes everything better, if it makes it more streamlined and you're able to, you know, watch maybe some of the bigger events on Fight, then I'm all for it. I'm all for making things easier.
Yes. Watch that other Mike Tyson fight that's happening with what him and Holyfield too, right? Or is it three? I forget.
I don't know. But let's move on to Inside of the Ring. Next week, Under the Radar returns weekly NXT talk. But we got some NXT talk today because we actually have a title change. We had Santos Escobar having an open challenge. Before he can even utter the words open challenge, Kushida answered the call. And Kushida is your new cruiserweight champion. So after Santos Escobar beat Jordan Devlin in a really good ladder match, he just loses it the next week against Kushida. Really good match. I didn't expect them to put the title on Kushida. Kushida wins kind of like a roll-up schoolboy pin type. And he has a little interaction with Jordan Devlin, so possibly setting up that feud later on down the line. But we talked about it. What's next for Kushida? I didn't see anything because he's kind of been there, done that. He's the champion. So I guess they're kind of not saying they're strapping a rocket to him, but they're putting a spotlight on him.
I like how we kind of got rid of the Back to the Future gear for this one. He's wearing like traditional trunks like that. Yeah, man, look. Oh God, excuse me. Jimbo said it on our WrestleMania Night 2 recap. Please go listen to that. Yeah, like people will lose, like they'll lose often, and then they'll win out of nowhere, win something big. This is the exact same thing. Congratulations to Kushida. I mean, he was being considered as a Jushin Thunder Liger like 2.0 for the longest time, the best light heavyweight in the world for quite some time, or junior heavyweight. Obviously, he was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. He was a Ring of Honor Television Champion simultaneously. He was doing a lot of good work. Goes over to NXT, was in a little bit of a drought, flirted with some rivalries here and there, got a big win over the Velveteen Dream, took an L to Pete Dunne. But all in all, congratulations to Kushida, the new WWE NXT Cruiserweight Champion. I mean, I'm happy for him. I'm excited.
Speaking of Velveteen Dream, I just went on Twitter just to see if anyone else got released, and I saw a tweet was like, oh, you released all those people, yet you didn't release Velveteen Dream.
Hey! 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 I miss him, dude. I'm sorry, I do. I miss Velveteen Dream. He was so over, it was ridiculous. I miss that guy.
And then he started to talk to 16-year-old boys and...
Dude, I don't understand why... Why that would even happen? Like, what? Why would you even fathom doing that? He's my age. Like, why would you do that? That's weird. I mean, nothing happened, but still, that's just weird. As I watch a Tide commercial with Ice-T and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it.
Philip, what happened on this day in wrestling?
You see clearly, better place than a broken dream, but you leave it all behind.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Hostile City Showdown 1995. Dean Malenko versus Eddie Guerrero in ECW. Guess what? This was Joey Styles' favorite match that he ever did commentary for in ECW. And that's the early years. The early years of ECW.
And he's done a few ECW matches, if I recall.
Yes. WCW Thunder 1999. Diamond Dallas Page. Cell 5-5. He wins the world championship. TNA Lockdown 2007. That's when they have like a 6-man steel cage tag match. Lockdown on this day in 2012, Bobby Roode retained the TNA title against his former tag team partner in Beer Money, James Storm. Raw on this day in 2013, Kofi Kingston wins the United States title. Black Wednesday 2020, when hella more people got released from WWE last year. You know, Kurt Angle, Heath Slater, all those people. Yeah. And then Austin Aries is 43 years old. Any thoughts about the things that happened on this day, Brandon?
Kind of insane that on the same exact day last year, yes, it was 2 weeks after WrestleMania, I believe, but apparently clutch your pearls on April 15th if you're a mid to lower card person in WWE.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. All right, fan mail, here we go. Hootie Hoo 420. AEW opening up with Mike Tyson saying, "I'm Mike Tyson," was too funny. Hey, bro, I did get a little chuckle. What are your thoughts about Mike Tyson?
"I'm Mike Tyson."
I did like Mike Tyson's demeanor and the way he carried himself. Like 95% of the time, I really enjoyed how Mike Tyson carried himself and what he was doing. It was just that extra 5% that kind of took it over the top for me when he rips the check. He like, you know, swings and miss trying to grab the check out of MJF's hand, and then he puts it in his mouth. And yeah, it was, for the most part, I thought he did a really good job. He's much better than some of the other celebrities we've seen. And I think AEW right now, when it comes to the celebrities, they strike the right chord and like the right tone.
But did you pop when he said, "Hi, I'm Mike Tyson"?
I did a little bit.
There we go.
We'll have a way to intro the show.
Jack of all trades, loved Mania, happy for Bobby and Bianca. Roman looked like an absolute megastar at the end of the night. At the end of night two, I'll acknowledge him as our head of the table. You see, every email should be like that. Give praise to those that deserve it and acknowledge Roman. That's it. Brandon, do you finally acknowledge Roman Reigns as our tribal chief? As our head of the table, do you finally acknowledge him?
I mean,
the main event of WrestleMania beat two of the best of all time. Great technical wrestler in Daniel Bryan and the already Hall of Famer Edge. Beat
almost both murdered of Edge.
Exactly. Come on. Acknowledge him.
I acknowledge Roman Reigns' existence.
Oh, you have to acknowledge him as the head of the table.
Oh, I acknowledge Roman at the head of the table. I will say that photo of Roman on the stage and the Flynn flipping him off just... chef's kiss. Fantastic.
I would never treat Roman Reigns like that. I will give him the whole bow and everything.
Yeah, I would never just yell at Roman and cuss in his face while he walks in front of me. That would never happen. I'm a good boy.
Robert Walker. Hey guys, how can they make the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal mean something? I know they get a trophy and some bragging rights for a little while, but it needs a long-term success. The winner of the Battle Royal not only gets the trophy, but they get to face the mid-card champion of their choosing. How about that? That sound interesting to you?
I was almost going to say that, because it is the pre-show battle royal. Don't give them the WWE or Universal title, but if they want an IC or United States Championship match, go for it.
I'm not opposed to that at all. All right, Brightest Day X.
Mr. X.
In hindsight, should they have waited to start WrestleMania after the weather delay, after Vince's speech, which got everyone excited, then hearing right after that there's going to be a delay seemed to take the wind out of the sails, no pun intended. Possibly.
Maybe they agree. I mean, that was kind of an awkward way to start it.
Yeah, maybe they could have done the random promos, then, you know, play a video package. Everybody goes out on the stage with Vince. Welcome to WrestleMania. Play another video package. Boom. We get started with the WWE title match.
So I'm not I'm not Kevin Dunn, but maybe you run the intro package and then you go to Michael Cole saying, oh, we're in a weather delay. And in that time, you can tell the fans that they're in a weather delay so they can go scurry off. And then you wait the half hour, 45 minutes. Then you get into America the Beautiful, Vince McMahon hyping everyone up. And then we run Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre hype package, and then we get the match. Just so, because I did agree with Mr. X that, you know, you get everyone all fired up. They never said anything about a delay, and we're getting ready, and then they just take it out. They rip the carpet out from underneath us.
Yes.
Or rug. It's going to be really hard for you to just rip out the entire carpet. It must be really strong.
Absolutely. Was I the only one who got the beginning of Rocky II vibes watching Cole and O'Reilly yell at each other as they began, as they were being stretchered out after Stand and Deliver? I think I recorded with Baby Huey. He mentioned something like that. Did you get that at all?
Of course I did. And I will like Adam Cole as they're being stretchered into the hospital, just giving Kyle O'Reilly an earful. That was hilarious.
Yes. Not the biggest fan of the name Frankie Monet. Ty Valkyrie said that she chose the name herself. I think they just should have went with Ty. What about you? Yeah, I think if they just kept it Ty Valkyrie, I would have been fine with that. You know,
Ty, because we all know they like the one names.
True, but I mean, like, when somebody has like a big enough presence, like on the indies or outside of WWE, I mean, I feel like you should just keep their name. Like LA Knight, he could have stayed Eli Drake. You know, I know WWE likes to own names and all that other stuff, but I mean, like it, like Keith Lee and Mia Yim are still Keith Lee and Mia Yim. You know what I mean?
And Shotzi Blackheart.
And Shotzi Blackheart. Well, that's a toast.
Which I will say, when she gets called up to the main roster, her name is just gonna be Shotzi. I already know that.
Or Miss Black, yeah, probably just.
It's just going to be Shotzi.
It's just going
to be. It's going to be the new Riddle.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Was anyone else worried Tyson was going to pull a WrestleMania 14 and turn on Jericho? No, absolutely not. Why would you turn on Lee Champion?
Yeah, Mike Tyson's a great person.
Ah, there you go. All right, Brandon, take it away.
Well, we got Raw. Raw happened. Raw after WrestleMania. No Samoa Joe on commentary. We have a brand new commentary desk. Corey Graves, Byron Saxton, and Adnan Virk. He is from ESPN, MLB Network, big sports guy. Philip, what'd you think of Adnan Virk's debut on the Raw?
Honestly, I hardly paid attention to him.
I will say he didn't do too much. Corey and Byron definitely carried the heavy lifting in terms of calling the action in the ring. I don't know. I mean, I know of him. I don't follow him and know exactly how much of a wrestling fan he is. I did get some like Vince McMahon vibes where he'll call the, like just a basic moves like a choke slam or a clothesline. But then when it came to like the, not exactly the fancy moves, but even kind of the signature moves of the wrestlers, he still didn't even say anything. So, but I will say he came across as like a likable guy. I'm going to give him a pass, but he does need to improve for him to, you know, be a good commentator.
If he pulls out a what a maneuver, I'll pop for it.
Apparently he still hasn't met Vince yet, which is kind of wild.
Really? Really?
I mean, WrestleMania was there. He must have been, Vince was probably really busy. Adnan, I don't know what he was doing. Maybe Vince wasn't out Raw on Monday, which I understand happens a lot more these days, but I mean, I guess it's a good thing because that means he's not getting yelled at in his headset. So,
hell were you doing? It's a choke slam, not a lifting slam. Choke slam. Hey, I want to sit through a Raw like with the headset on. I want to hear what Vince yells at people.
I don't think anyone wants to hear that.
I want to hear it, dude. I want to know.
Well, going into Raw proper, we open the show with Bobby Lashley just showing up to the new Thunderdome at USF, and Riddle just kind of interrupts him and just kind of tries to talk to him.
Thoughts on the new Thunderdome? How they kind of layered it out like actual seats, you know, like stair-like instead of just, you know.
I like it. It's a different look at the stage. You know, you have more of the fans kind of on the stage. It's different, even though it still kind of has the same Thunderdome qualities. It is a smaller dome than even when they worked at the Orlando Magic's place. So they're making do with what they got.
The third Thunderdome, Jesus.
And we don't know how much longer we're going to be doing this Thunderdome, but we will find out. So yeah, Riddle and Lashley got into it a little bit at the beginning. That leads into a match, and Lashley just absolutely murdered Riddle.
As he should. Good.
I mean, the man was just the United States champion. I know he wasn't supposed to be
the winner. He was terrible. He was a terrible champion. He was absolutely atrocious.
I mean, his backstage segments are atrocious, but when it came to the in-ring, it was pretty good.
He's mediocre at best.
I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this podcast, we see that Riddle has been released. But
good!
Makes sense of actually just destroying Riddle. Who knows? I mean, I thought maybe they run it back between Riddle and Sheamus. I don't know if that's going to happen. And we're supposed to get like a celebration or something with Lashley and MVP. We never really got that. Lashley didn't show up after that, and MVP cuts a promo. He gets interrupted by Randy, Braun, and McIntyre. That leads to a triple threat match. Winner faces Lashley at WrestleMania Backlash. Gotta say the whole name. And Drew McIntyre is the number one contender.
Or is it WrestleMania Backlash because they're running it back from WrestleMania?
It's just going to be the exact same card.
Payback Lash. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
We're already one step in. We've already got one rematch.
Yes. Drew McIntyre. Oh, God. Is it going to end at Payback Lash? Maybe. Are they going to do that?
It could.
Can we just get Brock and Lashley before it's over? Like, if Brock takes the title off, I think Lashley needs. No. Brock can beat Lashley. I'd be okay with it.
And then who beats Brock? Is Brock a babyface, or is he just Brock?
I'd love to see babyface Brock. I'm not opposed to that.
But I think if we get babyface Brock, we need Brock versus Roman with Paul Heyman, the star-crossed lover, in the middle.
Bro, yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Or we just build that to a unification match at WrestleMania next year, if we're not getting The Rock.
Winner gets the undisputed WWE Championship.
Yes. Look at that. Already booking the territory, even though we're nowhere near WrestleMania next year. But we did get some returns. We had the Viking War Raider experience. They came back. Good for them.
Yes. I actually missed those guys.
Well, with the New Day just get absolutely demolished by Omos. We didn't see AJ or Omos on this show, which kind of crazy. But the big one that everyone's going to be talking about is Charlotte Flair. She returns. She cuts a promo, and once again, she left as a babyface, and now she comes back as a heel. Rhea Ripley and Asuka had a rematch for the Raw Women's title, and that gets interfered by Charlotte. So she's staking her claim. She wants the women's title. Heel Charlotte is back after a dozen turns in the past dozen months.
You act like it's her fault. She doesn't write this.
What's she, Snitsky?
She doesn't write this.
I kept saying, just keep her a heel.
I think she does need to be a heel, because, I mean, like, genetically superior, that's not something a babyface would say. You know what I'm saying? Like, her whole gimmick in NXT, which is basically her, the queen, that's even more of a heel gimmick. You know what I mean? Keep her a heel. It's fine. Let her go win her, 12th world championship, which is crazy to me.
I thought she was 14. She said she dropped 14.
So there are two NXT Women's Championships, and then let's look this up.
I'm looking it up on the
How many times has she been the world champion? I need to find out. Let's see. WWE Charlotte. Let's find out. Go to her Wikipedia, because Wikipedia never what, Brandon?
Wikipedia never lies.
There we go. Championship accomplishments. All right. Let's see. WWE Women's. So. Okay. So 4, 9, 10. So she's won 10 world titles and 2 NXT Women's Championships. So, I mean, 12 championships overall. Oh, she said 14 because, you know, she included the Women's Tag Team title. So 13 championships overall.
She's a 14-time champion.
Where does it say 14 times?
I don't know. I thought she name dropped. She might have just messed up, okay? I don't know. But I know said 14.
Yeah. Or maybe she was going to claim her 14th championship overall, because she's 13 championships overall. But I mean, that's a 5th woman's triple crown, the 4th woman's grand slam. I thought the grand slam was the Money in the Bank. Did we not include that?
What was it? NXT, Raw, SmackDown, and Tag Team, right?
I think the Rumble is too. I think they throw that in there. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, man, just let her be a heel. Let her go win her, what is it, 11th world championship, whatever it is, whatever the number is. Just like her dad, man, just racking up world championships.
And she's going to get the real number. She's going to be a 22-time women's champion.
Possibly. The real record's 21. I can see her breaking the real record, the fictional and the real one. I can see it.
So, as I said, Randy Orton was a part of that triple threat match, and he erroneously said that after WrestleMania, Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt are gone. But they're not gone. They're staying right here, and I guess they're broken up because Alexa Bliss has learned everything from The Fiend, and now she's going to be her own demon deity. And now she has a doll, an evil doll, named Lily. Not to be confused with the AT&T girl, Lily.
I guess. I have no idea.
I'm a little scared. Now we're going to get like 2 or 3 of these Fiend segments a show now.
I wouldn't be surprised if Lily versus what's the rabbit?
Rambling Rabbit.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Rambling Rabbit has to go over.
Dude, could you? What if they actually did that? It's either going to be absolutely atrocious or somewhat passable.
Speaking of Rambling Rabbit, he was on the Firefly Funhouse, and Bray Wyatt was there, and he just really didn't say anything. But witches be wildin'.
Witches be wildin'. Should I call Young Boy number 2 for the singing the song? Should I do that?
No, we need to go back in the archives and clip that just so it can be a sound drop.
Oh my God, you don't even remember what episode it was, do you?
I don't remember what episode it is on, but I could tell you what day we recorded it on.
Okay. Well, that helps somewhat.
Someone go in the archives if I can find it. Let's go. I think I went too far.
Did you go too far?
I may have gone too far. I always go too far.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. No. I mean, we'll worry about it later. We'll worry about it later.
We'll find it one of these days.
One of these days, we will find it. It was 2019, I believe, right? Yeah. So I just have to listen to every episode from 2019, and we'll know.
Yep.
That's all we have to do. AEW, Brandon, what happened there?
What did happen in AEW? Well, we started off with that Tyson MJF promo. We've already kind of talked about that a little bit.
Yes, it happened. It was funny.
No one hurts, all we can ask for. And the Young Bucks take on Pac and Phoenix. They go about 22 minutes, I believe, in the Young Bucks retain. We get a new look, Young Bucks all decked out in all silver. They're rocking the Dior Jordan 1s. Philip, do you know how much those shoes cost, if those are real?
$11,000. So I've heard.
They're around.
Or BO, or best offer.
I mean, I looked on StockX, and they're going for like maybe $8,000, $9,000. But, you know, their heels, they can inflate a little bit.
Yeah.
They got them from Flight Club.
I like the Young Bucks new look. If they're gonna, you know this new Young Bucks, you know what they should wrestle, kind of a ground and pound style. I wouldn't be opposed to that. You know, I feel like when somebody changes a character, whether they go from babyface to heel or vice versa, not only should like the look change, the style should change. I mean, Jericho in his latter years now, he does wrestle more of a ground and pound style as the Painmaker or or and even when he's just having a walk and brawl in AEW. I wouldn't be opposed to the Young Bucks, you know, dialing back on the flashy moves.
Breaking news. I found the date. June 19th, 2019 was the day we recorded with the Young Boy.
I can't wait to look that up. It's going to be great. Do you think the Young Bucks should change their in-ring style, Brandon?
Should they? Maybe a tad bit. But I very much enjoy this match. I thought this match was just phenomenal. Maybe one of the better matches of the entire week. And it's going to be hard for the Young Bucks to stay heel when crowds come back, because they're just, if they're having matches like this and they're coming across as, you know, cocky and arrogant, it's going to be very similar to what they were like back in New Japan, PWG, when they were having a similar, character. But that being said, I very much enjoyed the character and what they're doing right now. And we can jump to the promo. They had a promo backstage in the parking lot. Don Callis and Matt Jackson absolutely killed it. Kenny was there and he did his thing. But I mean, Don Callis and Matt Jackson, if they're going to continue having these strong promos, this is going to be a good run. As much as I hated the buildup, as I said, if you just kind of scrap everything and we just start fresh with these new characters, I'm all fine with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Matt's been killing it of the match. You know, the mask off spot to the double super kick, I thought that was cool. The Young Bucks going back to that PWG Young Bucks, and I like that. I like that a lot, you know?
Yeah, Matt Jackson, great on the mic. Nick Jackson, I really liked his facials and the way that he carried himself, especially after the match, and just kind of the smug look he had.
The Young Bucks can tell a story. Come on, guys. Matt's still nursing that back injury from, 2017, 2018?
If you get a back injury, it never goes away unless you get surgery.
Ask HBK.
Exactly. We get a singles women's match. We actually had multiple women's matches on this show, everyone. Everyone rejoice. We had Jade versus Red Velvet, actually a kind of built-up mid-card match.
Jade Cargill is who? She's that what?
B-A-T-C-H.
Yeah, she's that, you know. Hey, Jade Cargill, I love her. I love her to death, brother. She's cool. She's built like all hell. I like the finisher, Jaded, even though it was the B-I-T-C-H clamp when Jazz did it. Jazz, you know, she's on the little retirement tour. Thank you for all your work, Jazz. If Jazz managed Jade, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Well, how do you feel about that real quick?
Jade does need a manager. She can speak for her own self.
I mean, just kind of like, you know, like the facials or whatever. You know, Jazz don't need to talk for her. She could be a silent manager. We can do that.
I will say, I had kind of low expectations. They did kind of surpass them. This match wasn't anything special, but you could see Jade, you know, athletically, she's phenomenal. Red Velvet, she's come along in her own right, and Jade carries herself like a star. And if she can stay healthy and she continues to improve, she will be a big, big deal, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, congratulations to Red Velvet. She just got engaged, by the way, to Wes Briscoe. You remember Aces and Eights? Yeah, he was in that.
Good for them.
Absolutely.
Sticking with the women's division, Jade is on her way up, and so is Britt Baker. She went over the top five women's ranking. She's number 3 right now, and with Red Velvet losing, Red Velvet's at 5-1, and Britt Baker's at 7-1, so Britt Baker should be number 2. And she just cuts a little promo talking with Tony and Reba. More good stuff, and she advertised that she will wrestle on Dark Elevation on Monday.
I'm actually going to tune in because I love Britt Baker. I love Britt Baker, DMD. I love the Deathmatch Dentist. Put that woman's title on her ASAP, dude. I mean, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for Britt Baker to be the champion.
We have a women's title match next week. They hyped it. They had Ty Conti and Hikaru Shida just kind of say two sentences. And that was it. I know their English isn't exactly a strong suit, but I'm expecting Shida to win, and we build to Britt and Shida.
Ty Conti, friend of the show?
Ty Conti is a friend of the show.
Oh, I mean, she had our Twitter blowing up. Shout out, Ty. Come on the show anytime.
Then we get another quote-unquote squash match. We get Anthony Ogogo defeating Cole Carter, and the match ends with a gut punch.
Hey, Bruce Lee had the one-inch punch. Ogogo can have the gut punch. It's all right. He's a boxer. Those hands are registered lethal weapons. It's okay. It's all right. I'll approve of that over the chop.
I thought a closed fist is illegal in wrestling.
It's a new era. It's a new era. You know what I'm saying?
I know Agogo is green and he's not, you know, he hasn't wrestled all that much. Even this Carter kid, JR said he's only wrestled 7 months, which I was like, why are you going to put someone who's only wrestled 7 months with this guy in a squash match?
But then it made sense. It's a squash match. Who cares?
Well, I was wondering that, but then it was like, oh, he's just going to do like some wrist locks and a gut punch. What the, like, why is this finishing a match? I understand he's a boxer, but you're opening up your, we see gut punches and kicks and everything like that so often. I thought that was such a stupid finish.
His hands are lethal weapon. Dude, Walter just won a match with a chop, okay?
And then what happened? He pinned him. It wasn't a referee stoppage.
What did I just say? This guy's hands are registered weapons, all right? Walter's hands are registered weapons. You know what I'm saying?
If he punched him and pinned him, I would have less of an issue with it. But it was a referee stoppage, which we've seen even in the main event. I know it's an ODQ match, but we saw far, far worse than a gut punch.
Look, the kid, he doesn't have that nice of a build. He got hit too hard. Had to sit it out. Ref stopped. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, hopefully they, as I said last week, I see something in Agogo. Character-wise, hopefully he comes along in the ring. We get Jericho taking on Dax Harwood, and Mike Tyson was a special enforcer. And a lot of distractions, a lot of stuff going on between the Pinnacle and Inner Circle. All in all, Jericho does get the win with the Judas Effect. And Mike Tyson, now a member of DX, and Inner Circle.
Yes, the WWE Hall of Famer is a member of D-Generation X and the Inner Circle. Yeah, you have to love it. Jericho and Harwood, they worked a decent match. Tyson knocking out Cash.
Hell of a punch.
Hell of a punch. Tyson still got it. Warming up for that fight against Holyfield in a little bit. Yeah, what are your thoughts about Mike Tyson joining the Inner Circle?
I mean, it's fun. I don't know how much longer, if any, he's going to be on AEW Dynamite, but he has name recognition. They were able to pop a pretty big rating with Shaq on, so maybe they can kind of get some more sports crossover. But, I mean, Mike Tyson, avid wrestling fan, and AEW, I guess, is offering him more and allowing him to do things. So, as I said at the beginning, he carries himself pretty good. He can be kind of awkward at times, but he still has that aura about him.
Yes, he's still the baddest man on the planet. Yes, sir.
Then we get another women's match. Chris Statlander takes on Amber Nova. This is Statlander's first match since, I believe, June of last year. She had a torn ACL, comes out with the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. I guess just everyone comes out to Orange Cassidy's theme song now, and Chris Statlander gets the win.
Congratulations to Chris Statlander. She beat Amber Nova with the Supernova. Ha-ha! No? No? Really? No?
Oh, because her last name's Nova, and she's an alien, and like, yeah. Supernova's like,
yes. Come on. How did you not get that? Come on now, Brandon.
I'm a little slow.
Oh, it's okay. So, yeah, I mean, Chris Statlander, you know, congratulations. You know, she, the people were behind her, you know, the people that were at ringside and no fans, because this was taped on Thursday of last week. But, yeah, it was cool.
It was cool. We had a backstage promo with the Team Taz and Ricky Starks and Brian Cage got into it a little bit. They were held back from talking to Cage. Christian Cage comes out, and he's supposed to have an open challenge against somebody. Didn't actually have a match, but Team Taz comes out and Powerhouse Willa Hobbs destroys Christian Cage. So it looks like we're getting Hobbs versus Christian maybe next week, the week after. I don't know.
It's happening next week. It's official. Hey, shout out to Will Hobbs. You know, he's going to be in there with the legendary Christian Cage. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the homie from the Bay scoring off with somebody of Christian's caliber. It's going to be decent to really good.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume maybe I would have saw this on a APW card with Will Hobbs, the local guy, against the aging veteran of Christian. But no, we're getting this on national television. Not hating, not expecting too much from this match. I would assume Christian gets the win, or maybe we get some sort of kerfuffle, bad finish to where this leads to another match later down the line.
Absolutely.
Then in the main event, we had Darby Allin take on Matt Hardy in a hardcore match. Once again, we get three hardcore matches in the span of like 5 weeks. Love to see it, I guess. And Darby Allin wins and retains his TNT championship. We had a coffin drop off scaffolding through the announce table. They fight throughout the backstage area. Darby gets the win. Good for him.
Can I say I enjoyed the JD Drake TNT title match more than this one?
It's your opinion. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. It was it was all right. It was okay.
I told them after the arcade match, no more hardcore matches for the foreseeable future, especially since we're doing the Blood and Guts in May. Just no more hardcore matches until then. They didn't listen to me, and now I have another hardcore match, and you're even saying that this wasn't that good compared to a singles match with a, I'm just going to say it, a nobody with Darby Allin.
Yeah.
But I will show some love to Matt Hardy. His father passed away, I believe, a couple of days before this match took place. Goes out there, has a, for my, you know, a pretty good match. He kind of put his body on the line, maybe a little more than he should have, but, you know, respects and, you know, prayers and love out there to the Hardy family.
Yes, absolutely. Matt and Jeff, condolences. You know, we're going out to your family. Because their mother died of cancer, I believe, in 93. And so, I mean, their father was there for all the major success, all the success throughout their careers. And so for them to lose that foundation, my heart aches for them. Yes. As we wrap up, Superstar Spotlight, who do we got? I'm giving it to Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Black Girl Magic in full effect at night one of WrestleMania 37. Congratulations to those girls. Congratulations to Bobby walking out the world champion also. I loved it.
My Superstar Spotlight, I will give it to, let's see. I will go on the AEW front, someone that I'm going to give it to the Young Bucks. I was putting them over big. I was burying them early on. And hopefully they start fresh with this week going forward. Just some late breaking news. We have AEW's rating comes in 1.2 million. We had NXT on Tuesday. They clocked in at 849,000, I believe. So AEW getting quite a significant bump, more of a bump than NXT did last week, or than NXT did, you know, on Tuesday.
Well, that's great. So shout out. Like, you repeat that. I was watching something.
AEW clocks in at 1.219 million.
Oh, so there you go. There you have it. They're on separate nights. AEW wins. Very few times. This is like, what, their third or fourth million viewer rating?
They clocked in a million opening. I don't think they clocked in at a million for the Shaq match, did they? I think there was like 900,000. They popped a rating, but I don't think it was over a million. They haven't exactly gotten that much. And I mean, I got to say, I thought NXT would have gotten a bigger jump, but AEW going from consistently 700,000 kind of steady, you know, 800 at times, and now they get up to 1.2. It's still not exactly like the biggest number in the world, but it's definitely good for a start. And I think this was a good show to attract a lot of viewers. I really enjoyed AEW this week.
Absolutely. It was fun. What day did you say we recorded that podcast with a young boy number 3?
June 19th, 2019.
June 19th of 2019. Okay. As I look, that's not it. So it would have to be, I want to say it was the, yeah, you know what, it was this one. Oh wait, no, I'm stupid. That's a July. Well, that makes perfect sense. Well, that's not that. June 19th. Is this it? No, it is not. I'll have to find that. I'll have to find it. Brandon, tell us about our promo pick of the week.
Well, our promo pick of the week, who is Bianca Belair? This is from NXT May 30th, 2018. Bianca Belair coming off of the success in the Mae Young Classic. She is on NXT now, and it is just kind of very similar to kind of her 24 or the documentary that she had on the network. And she kind of talks about her life, doesn't exactly go into the dark parts of it. It's all very positive. And she just looks like a shy, young, up and coming wrestler. Get a little bit of the EST at the very end. So you get a kind of a glimpse of what she comes out to be, but it's kind of fun to watch, you know, someone who's winning main events of WrestleMania start off at, you know, kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed rookie on NXT.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was fun to see her evolution. I do remember her being in the Mae Young Classic. I'm like, oh, yeah, she has a different look. I think the ponytail really just adds to her look and her charisma and her aura. And, you know, it's great to see where the EST of NXT is now being the EST of WWE. Yeah. All right, our closing match pick of the week is going to be from Unforgiven 2004, September 12th. Chris Jericho versus Christian Cage on a ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship, the vacant Intercontinental Championship. Christian and Jericho had been fighting over Trish Stratus. They had a match at WrestleMania 20 because of their jealousy when it comes to Trish. And I thought it was really cool. Could we possibly see Christian Cage versus Chris Jericho in AEW sometime down the line?
Could you possibly, but when it comes to Christian and kind of the ex-older WWE guys, I don't think you want to intermingle them. I don't want to see Matt Hardy and Christian. I don't care what kind of history they have. Maybe a tag team if Matt turns babyface, but yeah, please, no singles.
You know what? Because like, if you really look at the only former WWE people to really wrestle in AEW were Cody and Dustin at Double or Nothing, and then Jericho and Cody at a full gear in 2019. That's it. Only two matches. So that's really not that bad, you know, because TNA, they harbored on ex-WWE people wrestling each other for the longest time. And that was kind of, you know, their downfall. And it's the same with WCW for quite some time. So congratulations to Tony Khan on really not harboring on that. I do like how the older guys do mix it up with the younger talent. Like, I want to see Orange Cassidy versus Christian Cage. I think that'd be cool.
Forgot to talk about this. Rusev did have a promo on Dynamite, and he kind of said he hasn't seen Kip since the fight, and he was very serious, very intense. Hopefully this means big things for Miro going forward.
Good. Hell, give him manager, let him be ruthless, and let him beat Darby Allin and become TNT champion.
I'm all for it. I think Miro, if Miro can be a star, not a star, but, you know, very serious, I think he's definitely someone that could help AEW on the heel side. But he's so likable off air that he's going to be cheered, I think, maybe more than people would like him to be.
Yeah, man. Total Divas made him a star, dude. As we wrap things up, UGWA is this Saturday. Yes, independent wrestling in the Bay Area. You got to love it. It's 6 p.m. at Level Up in San Jose. I will be in attendance conducting an interview. I'm excited about that with somebody who was on the GCW for the Culture card last week in Tampa during WrestleMania weekend. Yeah, man, if you see me, come give me a socially distanced hello. Yeah, absolutely. Tickets are actually still available, $40 per person. Help out my boy Anthony, who runs UGWA. You know, he runs these shows during the pandemic to kind of give us a feel of somewhat of normalcy. Plus, you know, you gotta keep the lights on, gotta pay bills. So DM UGWA on Instagram if you are interested in going to the show on Saturday in San Jose at 6 p.m. Tickets are still available. Yeah, man. Brandon, you making the trip?
Not right now. Haven't been to an UGWA show. You keep talking about it.
I've never. This is my first one. I'm excited. There's going to be a death match. I'm excited.
Maybe sometime in the during the summertime.
Yes, absolutely.
Hot girl summer, baby.
Do big boys, do we get like winter, right? We get like thick boy winter. Is that a thing? Thick boy fall?
Hot boy summer.
It could be hot boy summer. But we thick boys, though.
I'm working on that.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, follow us on Twitter at Bullcast, Instagram, The Bullcast, YouTube channel, The Bullcast, emails, Bullcast2, is in the number 2 suite, SWET at gmail.com, 104.7 FM KAPU in Watsonville every Friday night from 11 p.m. to midnight. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Spotify, Patreon. We're all over the damn place. HD for life on teesprings.com. Go get you some of that graffiti merch. Stay clean, stay strong, stay safe, stay quarantined. Diamonds are forever. So is the microphone aside. We are the elite, and you are the winner.
This has been the Bullacast. Thank you for listening.